Well, girls, what lovely lyrics we were singing there about being in Christ alone. Indeed, singing Hosanna, thinking about God who saves us. That's what that means. Hosanna, save us. We're going to think a little bit now about a man who would talk to God lots, a man who would sing, indeed pray to God lots. We're going to think about Daniel. We all need to, I suppose, don't worry if there's a little bit of noise, a little bit of running about, it's okay. I've got a microphone. So Daniel was a man of prayer. We had that passage read out from Daniel chapter 6. And everybody this week seems to me to have been talking about praying. It was on the news, wasn't it? You may remember this cinema chain banned the Lord's Prayer, or this advert by the Church of England. They weren't going to show it before the movie, before Star Wars. Well, I thought that we could maybe think about why we are not banned from talking to the Lord, and why it's indeed a very good thing to pray. Good communication, you see, is really important. It's vital, in fact. I have a couple of slides here of some communication gone a bit askew. Look at this one here, the Church of the Cross. Don't let worries kill you. Let the church help. Not the greatest of messages. I think they could have had a comma there. Or this one here. If you encounter a mountain lion, face lion, walk back away slowly. Be loud, shout. Keep children close. If attack, fight back. I don't know, I'd probably panic. I probably wouldn't remember any of that. I would just run. But the sign there is trying to communicate using signs. What's the next one? Oh, ladies. I don't know anything about this. But apparently, if you're walking on cobblestones and heels, it's not good and they can break. The sign's trying to warn and help there. Good communication. And we use signs, and sometimes we can... Sometimes they can be helpful, and sometimes they could be kind of funny. But it's not just useful out in the world whenever we see signs, whenever we see billboards or words up on the screen. Good communication is also really useful in knowing God. And I want to talk to you about how we can know God better, and how God talks to us, and how we talk to God. I want to help you girls and congregation and visitors become better communicators with God, to know what He says to us, and indeed listen to what He says, indeed pray and talk to Him. And we're going to do that by seeing this guy, Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer, the Bible says. But Daniel was also a man who knew the Word of God. God was talking to Daniel. Throughout the book of Daniel, if you've ever had the chance to study it, you see how God talks to Daniel. Imagine you're in school. Imagine you're in school and somebody gives you a letter. Kind of frequent occurrence, no doubt. You pick it up, you get the letter. And if you're anything like me, you'll look to see who the letter is from. Because once you know who the letter is written by, who it's from, that affects how you read it. If it comes from, I don't know, maybe for some of you older girls, maybe your boyfriend or something. If you look and you know it's from your boyfriend, then you may be well up inside. You'll think, oh, this is lovely. You'll go all gooey. That's what Jennifer does anyway whenever I send her a text message, probably. If it comes from a teacher... Oh, it comes from a teacher, a letter from a teacher. Perhaps you might be a little bit more concerned. Maybe they're writing to you about an exam. Or maybe they're writing you that you need to go and talk to the principal. Maybe it's a letter advertising something. I don't know, a school open day or the library or something. You'll probably scan it and forget all about it. But how we come to God's letter to us, how we come to the Bible, is really important. It's important that we know who wrote it, that it's God speaking to us. It's a love letter of sorts, but it's also important, full of all sorts of important news. We should pay attention to what God says to us in the Bible. Back in Daniel's time, God spoke to him many different ways. In chapter 2, he gave him interpretations of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 4, God revealed to Daniel his warning for a forgetful king. There's whole sections where God is speaking in the latter books of the chapters of Daniel directly. But God talks to us, believe it or not, in a similar way. And he does it through his word. If you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to fill out those promises that you made before the church, whenever you said, I do, then you start in the Bible. It's there you find stories of Christians like us. We find wisdom, we find poetry, we find love songs. We find where God encourages us when we're sad, amazing songs to praise us. We find the future, we find the past. We find out what God is doing through it all. It's a unique book, it's a unique story. It's written by God for us. I want to encourage you as you go through the company, as you come to GB, as you come to services like this, in your own churches or perhaps here, to always remember that God speaks to us through the Bible and to always listen. The Bible tells us if we do that, we'll be like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Imagine being like that. Imagine being like one of those big trees that you can't wrap your whole arm around because you've been there for years. Storms come and storms go, but you're still there producing fruit year in, year out. That's an amazing thing. And it's possible as indeed we have streams of living water given to us from the Bible. That's how Daniel kept going in a foreign court. Far from home, far from the majority of his people, God's word sustained him and kept him going. It's the same for us Christians today. The way to know God better, to learn more about his plan for our life, is from the Bible. Now, so that's God talking to us. What about when we talk to God? It's really hard, you know, to communicate without words, isn't it? Have you ever played charades? Yeah. I'm sure some of the grown-ups have played charades as well. It's really hard. The whole point of the game is to communicate. Let's see if maybe I could do one and you could see if you could guess. Right, let's see. Okay. Okay. Second word. Let's see. Haven't thought this one through. Yeah. I was kind of cheating there. If I did that at a Christmas party, I would probably wouldn't get the point. It's hard to communicate sometimes without words. Words make it so much easier, don't they? It's the same if we want to know God. If we want to build a relationship with God, we don't do charades with God. All we have to do is talk to him. And that's what prayer is all about. Can you think of some time, perhaps, maybe grown-ups, when everything's going well in your life, and then something swoops in, tries to trip you up? From good times, suddenly everything shifts to the bad times, the worst time in your life. Everything's going wrong. Well, that's exactly where our friend Daniel is at this point. Life's been going okay for him. God's speaking to him. He served well under his king, Nebuchadnezzar. He's interpreted the writing on the wall for Belshazzar. And even under the latest king, Darius, he's distinguished himself. He's risen all the way to the top. He's in charge of all these satraps and all the rest. And in come these jealous officials who try to trip him up. They want to throw him in prison. They create a dodgy law that says, if you pray to God, we're going to put you indeed into the den of lions. What do you think Daniel did in that time? Did he stop praying? No, he didn't. He ignores the false rule in verse 10 that was read out for us. He knows that he needs a regular prayer life. He talks to God, not once, not twice, but three times a day. And he starts to pray as he always did, in his upstairs room, and lets passers-by see this man of God. And who did he pray to? The Bible says that he prayed to God. He gave thanks to God. He asked God for help. He prays to the God who's in charge of all things. And what happens next? Well, we heard it in the story. The jealous officials come in and try to trip him up. They tell Darius, and into the lion's den he goes. Has God abandoned Daniel at this point? Has he not heard his cry for help? Was God not to be trusted? Well, no, verse 20 answers the story. Indeed, it says, when he came near to the den, that's Darius, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. He trusted in his God, and God answered him. God doesn't always answer prayer in exactly the way Christians expect, but I think Daniel would have done exactly the same thing had God not shut the mouth of the lions. He would have kept praying. He would have kept loving the Lord. Boys and girls, I want you. Moms and dads, I want you. Grannies and grandas, I want you. Friends and family here and gathered, I want you to have a prayer life like Daniel. That nothing will stop it. No matter what circumstance you're in, prayer is vital in this life. We have to talk to the Lord. And you know what? It's not like talking just to a trusted friend, though he is our friend. We're talking to the one who's in control of all things, who loves to give you every good thing in accordance with his will. And he even helps us whenever we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we kind of put our hands together, we close our eyes, and we're not all that sure what we're going to pray. But the Lord helps us. We ask the Holy Spirit and he will come beside us. He is interested in every part of our life. We can talk, no part of our life we can withhold from the Lord. That's an amazing privilege. So as we conclude, you've listened really well. But I want to ask you, what is your attitude whenever you to hearing from God and indeed talking to him? Maybe you aren't a Christian here. Maybe you wonder, how could God ever want to hear from me? How could I have anything to say to him? But that's nothing could be further from the truth. God does want to hear from you, and he has something to say to you. In fact, he sent his only begotten Son to demonstrate his love for you. That the gulf between the Creator and the creation, that gulf that exists because of sin, would be covered by his own Son's life, death, and resurrection. I'm not interested in what you think you know about him this morning. But here you can encounter God, maker of heaven and earth, through his Son. And that is a soul-challenging, life-changing occurrence. What about the attitude some other people have to prayer? Maybe like Christians, do you see it like an emergency number? It's like 999. I'm in trouble, I better get on the phone. Better talk to God. Tough test is coming up at school. Haven't done much studying. Maybe something's happened in your life. Maybe death. And they pray something like this. Please, God, help me. Help me through this. And I'll be nice to whoever. Friends, granny, granda, parents, random person from here on out. Everybody's thinking, yeah, that's not me. But I reckon it's closer to the truth for so many of us. I've been that person. There's nothing wrong with emergency prayer. But it's no substitute for faithful, continual prayer. We treat sometimes God like the emergency services. Useful in a bind, but not someone you'd want to call on every day. But Christianity is not a break in case of emergency faith. It is a day in, day out encounter with the Holy God of the universe, who instructs his followers through his word, indeed asks us to talk to him. And it's the most remarkable thing. It'll take us from the lion's den to the front of church to wherever. And God calls us this morning to be ready for communication with him in prayer and indeed the Bible. I thank you for listening. Let's pray, shall we? Let us pray. Indeed, Lord, we thank you that you talk to us through your word. We thank you for the Bible, that inspired word of yours that is useful for indeed all life, useful for instructing, indeed rebuking. Father, we thank you that we can turn to it as your people this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray to you. Lord, even now you hear us through your Son by the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the encounter that we have had with you this morning. We thank you for, Lord, your continued presence in our lives. And Father, we pray that indeed you would be speaking and speaking by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, let us end our... Oh, no. We're not ending our service. I always do that. Let's lift our offering, shall we? In response to the grace the Lord gives us in His Word, we give to the Lord in gratitude, and the loose change will be for the work of the company. Collectors, to your marks.